but not least, coming to you, Neil, as somebody who's coming from a range of sort of angles into thinking about mental health, particularly. Do you want to say something about what you think are the main ways that sort of society and government perhaps needs to think about mental health improvement, when we know at the moment that most of the sort of drivers are coming around sort of the idea of NHS being the sort of provider of treatments, etc. So, you know, how can we think about mental health differently?
Okay, thank you. Thanks, Rosie. I'm very pleased to be here. Even as a last-minute substitute, it's very good to be in such an illustrious panel. And this is a topic that I'm very interested in, both from my research interests and also from my work in mental health improvement in East Glasgow. So in my 10 minutes, and I'll stick to time, I want to do a few things. First of all, say a bit about what mental health improvement is and a bit about the current policy position in Scotland. Say a bit about where I think some of the gaps are in relation to current policy and practice, discuss what some of the principles are in relation to effective programmes, in mental health improvement programmes, drawing on my own experience of work in East Glasgow, and then finally, what does this mean at policy level? And then I just want to be a bit self-doubting and talk about what I think is a flaw in my argument. So when we talk about mental health improvement, we're really talking about a spectrum which encompasses promotion of positive mental health, the prevention of mental health problems, and improving the quality of life of people with mental health problems. And over the last almost 10 years, since 2001, 2002, there's been a concerted effort by the Scottish Government in relation to mental health improvement. First of all, with the National Programme for Improving Mental Health and Wellbeing, and then more recently, over the last 3 years or so, with the Towards a Mentally Flourishing Scotland policy. And there's been a concerted effort, I think, in relation to health to shift the focus from only working with people, or largely working with people with severe and enduring mental health problems, which is very important to try and encompass this broad spectrum. And I think the Scottish Government, on the whole, has done a very good job in this respect. And I think particularly with the Towards a Mentally Flourishing Scotland policy, there's been a big attempt at inclusive policy making. So there's been a process which has involved public sector agencies and civil society to shape that policy, and I think that's been very important. I think if we're looking at the spectrum of mental health improvement work and policy in Scotland over those 10 years, then I think there's been a particular emphasis on improving the quality of life of people with mental health problems. And we see initiatives like See Me, the National Anti-Stigma Campaign, and also the Recovery Network to promote recovery for people with mental health problems. And we've also seen an emphasis on some aspects of prevention, particularly in relation to the suicide, National Suicide Prevention Strategy and Programme, Choose Life, and also a lot of work at a primary care level to improve the prevention of common mental health problems. Where I think there's been less emphasis is in relation to the promotion of positive mental health, which is much more difficult, I think, for health to construct a programme around. Promoting positive mental health includes a whole range of things, such as improving social networks, building social capital, developing self-esteem, developing the coping skills, resilience of individuals and communities. In order to promote positive mental health, we need to take action to support determinants of good mental health, and that includes things like work satisfaction, economic security, improving the physical environment, creating more enabling environments, and minimising factors that undermine mental health, such as violence, exclusion and discrimination. So when we see these whole range of factors that impact on mental health and well-being, then we recognise that this requires an effort across the different areas of public policy, that it's no longer just a health issue. But even if we can take action on these different aspects of public policy to improve mental health and well-being, often these initiatives are taken at population level and involve universal programmes. And what that doesn't do, and this links, I think, with what the previous speakers have been saying, is that ignores some of the complexities within particular communities, and in particular ignores inequalities that exist within society and within communities. And there's been an increasing recognition, I think, within public policy that we need to take more or have placed more of an emphasis on health equity, not just population health gain. In relation to mental health, we know that disadvantage plays a major part in contributing to the incidence of mental health problems. So factors such as poverty, gender, ethnicity, all have a major impact in relation to your risk of developing mental health problems. The Marmot Review, which has been mentioned, argues that to reduce the steepness of the social gradient in health, actions must be universal, but with a scale and intensity that is proportionate to the level of disadvantage. And this is known as proportionate universalism. I think this needs two things. Firstly, a redistribution of resources to low-income communities. And secondly, using these resources in a different way that's effective and empowering. And in my view, there's a role for community development approaches that shift the emphasis towards health equity. So what does this mean in practice, and what are some of the principles that I think we need to adopt? From my own experience of working in East Glasgow and mental health improvement, I think there's a number of principles that we need to think of. Firstly, we need a high degree of community involvement in the design of initiatives, so that there's ownership and community involvement in relation to such initiatives. So we need effective participatory decision making that empowers individuals and local communities. Secondly, in order to be effective in addressing inequalities, we need to develop partnerships involving a whole range of partners with the public sector and civil society organisations. And in order to do this, I think we need to make a strong case for mental health improvement and for promoting positive mental health and well-being across a range of partners and sectors, including the economy, lifelong learning, transport, environment, etc. In order to do this, I think we need to build the capacity of partners to contribute to and develop mental health improvement. And also, we need to embed any initiatives that we develop into sustainable mainstream programmes. And finally, I think it's important to be innovative, and there's a need to be innovative when developing such programmes. And there's a range of programmes, such as a range of initiatives or approaches such as the arts, which help us to be innovative and help us to engage communities and individuals on an emotional level as well. I'd like to illustrate this just with a couple of examples from my own work. One of the initiatives I've been involved in is developing a school, mental health school curriculum resource for young people within East Glasgow. And we developed this in partnership with young people who shaped some of the DVD materials and also in partnership with the education department and with local schools. And what we've done in developing the packets, we've schooled local schools and local youth sector agencies to deliver this programme. The programme has now been embedded and sustained through the education department. So that's been important, I think, for mainstreaming the work. We've also taken a similar initiative with the local economic development company in relation to working with local workplaces to promote positive mental health and well-being, and also with a major housing association to working with local residents in East Glasgow to improving housing conditions. So that's an example, I guess, where some of the principles have been put into practice. Another body of work we've been involved in is building social capital through developing programmes that create networks, enhance social support, and allow for dialogue. We've been involved in a programme called Sanctuary, which is a peer-led programme of action research with asylum seekers and refugees. That's involved community workshops exploring meaning around positive mental health, alongside staff training for the NHS and housing providers to try and address inequalities within services. So from my experience, these are some of the principles required for effective mental health improvement programmes, effective community engagement, developing this wider coalition of public sector agencies and civil society, building capacity and ensuring the mainstreaming and sustainability of programmes. So what does this mean at a policy level, at a national policy level? And specifically an answer to the question that Rosie's put. I believe that improving public mental health needs to remain a priority for the NHS, and I think that's particularly challenging at a time of less resources for the NHS. But I think given we've made such progress in relation to promotion, prevention, and improving the quality of life, we need to maintain and build on that work. But it's also about putting mental health much higher up on the agenda of other parts of government. Parts of government that deal with the economy, with housing, with transport, with the environment, with lifelong learning, and with regeneration. And it will only do this by raising consciousness and effectively making the case for mental health improvement and the importance of good mental health for our society. So while I would argue this is the way forward, I want to finish with identifying what I think is a major flaw in my argument. And it's this: can we really make our society mentally healthier without fundamental economic and social change? We know that the more unequal a society is, the less mentally healthy it is. So within industrialised countries, relatively equal societies like Japan have much lower rates of mental illness, less than 1 in 10, whereas more unequal societies like the UK and particularly the US have much higher rates of mental illness, as much as 1 in 4. And if we plot a graph, that's a fairly linear graph, so roughly 8% in Japan up to 26% in the US. So if we want a more mentally healthy society, perhaps we should devote more of efforts creating a more equal society. And unless we fundamentally change social circumstances, we cannot have an impact on societal mental health. And this requires different thinking by both society and government in creating a more equal society. So in conclusion, perhaps we need to do a number of things and take action on a number of levels. We need initiatives that promote mental health and well-being through, for example, enhancing social capital, developing social networks, etc., building self-esteem, as well as continuing work on prevention and quality of life. We need agencies, both health and non-health, to do what they do differently, with a scale and intensity that's proportionate to the level of disadvantage in order to tackle inequalities. But we need to do this against the backdrop of tackling economic and social inequality.